to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're thinking about Christian leadership. That gathered in this room will be either leaders, okay, so you're leading now, future leaders, or those who will be called to choose leaders, if you're sort of like a church member. And so I think we need to know what God's vision, God's plan, God's standard is for those who will lead his church. And this is an introduction. It's not a final word. You're free to debate some of these things with me. In the pastoral letters, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, there are five words that are called trustworthy sayings. Trustworthy sayings. It doesn't mean that the rest of it is not trustworthy, but it's saying in, that you can especially underline this, put it in red, put a verse above your door, make a fridge magnet of it, that sort of thing. Especially about leaders and for leaders. And we're just going through them to see what we learn. A couple of weeks ago, looked at the first one, trustworthy saying, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Okay, so it's about sinful people, it's to sinful people, it's from sinful people, but those have been forgiven sinners, cleansed sinners, adopted sinners, now telling others, look, you can know God's forgiveness. Yeah, regardless of what you've ever done in the past, you can know God's forgiveness today. That's what he wants to tell us. And this morning, we've got the second trustworthy saying. Okay, so I'm going to read this out. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I'm going to read right through to about verse 13. Okay, so here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Okay, the devil has a trap for leaders. Verse 8, deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife, and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Although I hope to come soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of a living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Amen. So, we're looking at qualifications, and we're going to look at the elder and the deacon. Okay, the elder and the deacon. What is God looking for? Because what God is looking for, a local church should be looking for as well. And my observations are based on a number of years as a local leader, both as a deacon at one point and an elder, which I am today. We're going to see some of the good and not so good. Okay, I won't have too much focus on the not so good because I might depress you. And you might think, what is this area like? But I'll tell you one or two things. Verse 1, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Okay, the overseer in Greek is where they get the word bishop from. A bishop that you find in some churches. I believe that the pastor, the elder, the overseer are the same person. They're just one person. It just gives you different aspects of the task. The overseer is to have an overall picture watching over the work and especially the flock, the people, seeing what's going on. And we're told that if God places in your heart the desire to be an elder, he says it's a noble task. Okay? It's a good task. It's a worthy task. It's a brilliant task. It's an important task. It's a strategic task. Okay? And that is worth saying. Because it's not seen as a desirable job. So, when I was younger, you went to see the, what do they call it, the sort of officer who were trying to help you into employment at a school. You know, he gives you brochures. There's nothing about a pastor in it at all. Yeah, engineering, you could be a journalist. I wanted to be a comedian at that point, but that didn't work out. A sort of stand-up comic, there wasn't in the list. But there were all kinds of jobs. That wasn't one of them. And if you had said to me, you know something? In 25 years or 30 years' time, you're going to be a pastor. I would have laughed my head off. I said, are you mad? Even as a Christian, I'd have thought, no, that's not me. In my case, the job found the man. Okay? Sometimes the man finds a job or the woman finds a job. In my case, the job found me. And the Lord found me as well. I've got a pastor friend who's doing a great work in just a bit north of here. But his dad, and this really upsets him, his dad says, when are you going to get a real job? What kind of job do you think this is? You're a time waster. You're just sponging off people. Get a real job. His earthly father is not a believer. So he thinks it's largely a waste of time believing in some fantasy God and Jesus and all this nonsense. You need to go and get a real job. That's what his father thinks. His heavenly father thinks, though, verse 1, no. It's a noble task. It's a task worth doing. It's a tricky task, but it's a worthy task. You know, tricky because, as we saw in verse 7, the devil has traps for those who lead. Just also say, I believe in two things. I believe there's a plurality of elders. I don't think it should necessarily be one person. Titus 1 tells us that there's safety in numbers. There should be more than one. I also think the eldership should be certain men. Okay, not all men, but certain men. I think there are extreme exceptions for that. But I think mainly that's it. You're free to challenge me on that. But back to the overseer. What are the qualities that are needed? What are the qualities you need to be an overseer? Here's the main one, verse 2. Now, the overseer must be above reproach. Above reproach. That means they don't have to be perfect. Okay, that was my image. That's probably one. I used to think, yeah, you know something? These guys should really be perfect in what they do. No, you're not called to be perfect. Churches can wrongly expect that. But there must be no obvious faults. Okay? No red flags, as they say in Britain. No red flags. That if I'm due in court next week, I'm charged with assault, had a fight in a Harlesden car park, that's a red flag. Okay? That's a red flag. Church needs to ask some questions. Why is he being arrested? What has he been up to? Yeah? Because verse 3, you're called away from violence. You can't be violent. Being violent is not above reproach. Qualifications. Okay, what qualifies you? From what I can see for an overseer, it's experience, it's gift, and it's character. Experience, gift, and character. So experience, if you look, have a look at verse 6. Have a look at verse 6. You cannot be a recent convert. Okay? You must win a victory over pride. And that often comes with time. Not always. Okay? The truth is not always. Actually, you can have an issue with pride all your life. But often you can win a victory over pride, but that will take time. So it cannot be a recent convert. Though you can be quite young. My first pastor was a guy who was 26 years old. And he was brilliant. So there are exceptions to that. Marriage, okay? Marriage experience. Verse 2. He must be the husband of but one wife. Okay? So, one wife. And that may be a reference to polygamy, which would have been big in the ancient world. Multiple marriages, lots of different wives. Okay? If that's the case, you can't serve. By implication in our day, it would mean if I've got my wife, Joanne, but I've got a mistress on the side and I'm visiting this particular place, no, I can't serve. I can't serve. And where that happens, the church should take action. I'm disqualified. What about the divorced brother or brother? Can that person be an elder? For me, it would depend on the circumstances of the divorce. I think you can't just write people off and say, oh, look, they were divorced. That means they can't leave. No, actually, what were the circumstances of a divorce? Because there are innocent parties. You may have to check that, but I do not believe that disqualifies you from service. The innocent should not be disqualified. Let's think about family. Verse 4. He must manage his own family well and see his children obey him with proper respect. Okay, if the kids don't listen to you, don't expect anyone else to. That is what Paul says. That's what the Bible says. That your family is a testing ground. To what extent are your children able to listen to you and obey you? To some extent. Not all the time. But to what extent? If the kids are running riot everywhere and you're putting yourself up, you know, because kids are nothing compared to adults. Because we can be big children. And that can be even worse. So, yeah, you've got to be able to handle them well. What about the single man? The single man with no family, or even the widower. If it talks about managing your family well, does that mean they're disqualified? Again, no, not necessarily. Though with a single person, it can be complex. And you may have to look in other areas. So with some single men, there can be a problem of isolation and also your character if you're too inward looking. The single person, single man, who is able to look outwards would be a person who would be fine, but there may be issues. This country has been blessed by godly single leaders. Perhaps one of the greatest, Dr. John Stott, who basically almost most pastors in the West and actually Africa will basically ransack his sermons and his books. He's a single man all his life, and God was able to use him. God can use the single and he can use the married. He's not restricted. Okay, gifts. Okay, gifts. What are the main gifts? This is interesting because only one is mentioned in this list. There's only one mentioned. You think there would be more, wouldn't you? But Paul mentions one. He says, verse 2, able to teach. Verse 2, you've got to be able to teach. Have an ability to teach. Not necessarily an ability in the pulpit to do this kind of teaching, very public, loads of people, I'm standing up at the front. Not necessarily that. It can be one-to-one. It can be in group settings. It can be to children. Yeah, but can you explain the gospel faithfully and clearly? So faithfully, that the gospel that Paul has given to the churches is the same gospel we're telling others. I'm faithful to it. I'm not trying to change bits that, which are uncomfortable for my culture. I'm telling you straight. And also, there has to be some clarity. Yeah, but I need to be able to communicate it well. I've got to be clear. I've got to be concise. I've got to get to the point. That, I think, is the ability to teach. And it must be recognized by the local church. It can't be, I've had a discussion with my, as I've seen sadly, I've had a discussion with my mate. My mate thinks I'm brilliant. He thinks I've got this gift. Okay, I've got the gift. Can the church just accommodate me? Here I am. No, it has to be recognized by the people of God. Okay? Why does this matter? Because of the need to protect the flock. Because of the activities of Satan. And his one of his main activities is false teaching. So you need to know the right teaching, which means you need to be taught the right teaching. So you can fight the battle. Without the good teaching, you cannot fight. Or you can fight, but it'll all be a bit foggy. Okay. That is, you need to know the truth. And often what the church will do is they will set people apart to do that work. They will release them from normal work and they will pay them an amount of money and they will go away and teach the people. From what I've observed, okay, and this is something I've learned at Donington, there appears to be diversity within the gift. Okay, there's a diversity. Not everyone is gifted in the same way. Okay, so you may get someone, average Christian, they're coming to church on a Sunday and they're listening to some podcasts and the podcasts are excellent. The guy keeps my attention for 45 minutes. When he finishes, I feel that wasn't enough. Give me another 15, 20. Yeah, I come to my church and there's my pastor sort of, here he goes. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. We're not got the same gift. Yeah, I'm not John Piper. I'm not Timothy Keller. I'm not Dr. Carson. I'm none of those things. I'm not John MacArthur. I'm Andrew Gordon. Yeah? God has given me some ability. He's given them more ability. Okay? But don't assume there's only one ability. Otherwise, you put it to the standard of, well. They're not Don Carson, are they? They're not one of them. Well. No. Who's Don Carson? And remember, the best preacher is Jesus. Okay? So that's cool. But some people will be able to hold your attention for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Some guys could go for an hour and a half and you think, why did you stop? Carry on. It depends on the person if they've got the gift. The next thing is character. Character. So verse 2 says, husband of but one wife, you've got to be temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, or not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. So it's the positives and the negatives. And as I look at that list, I think it's about holiness, isn't it? It's about being Christ-like in your behavior. God's vision is this. The person who is teaching you the gospel must be living the gospel. It comes with a power when the person teaching the gospel is trying to live out the gospel. Not perfectly, but growing in the area. And the fruit of that gospel is being seen in their lives. And God is saying, pray for such a person. Pray for such a person. Today, we have a crisis of leadership in the West. Okay, I think that's absolutely clear. We have a crisis of leadership in the West. In government, in church, and in the home. Where does it come from? It comes from that relationship between the gifts, the character, and the personality. The gifts, the character, and the personality. You see it especially in politics. Okay, and that affects every single one of us. Yeah, that is The emphasis is on my gifts, okay? My ability to get something across. It's based on my personality. But my moral life, let's not talk too much about it. Don't look too far. And the result has been disaster. Yeah? Because we embrace the personality, we embrace the gifts, but when it comes to the behavior, we're just sweeping it under the carpet. Yeah? And we're being very silly. Yeah? Because if a person, think of this, if a person lies to his wife having an affair, do you think he wouldn't lie to you, the people? Of course he would. If he studied in lying to his missus, I was late at work, you know what I mean? Do you think he wouldn't lie to a number of faceless people? Of course he would. And that's the problem with leadership. We've got to say that character matters. Because sadly, in the church, the preaching gift can outstrip the character. Yeah, someone's got a great ability to communicate, they've got great knowledge, but some of their behaviour is shabby. I mean, sadly seeing this locally. Yeah, so you've got brilliant evangelism. He's a brilliant evangelist, she's brilliant. But she's a pain in the neck. Okay, her own team don't even get on with her. They send her off on tasks because they want to push her to one side. She just keeps having arguments with everybody. What's that about? Explain the doctrines of grace. Okay, just a walking theological encyclopedia, but I'm dismissive of the people. It's almost as if I'm doing them a favor by teaching them anything. And their job is to pay me. I have very little interaction with them, and so it goes. Sadly seen in this area. Yeah? A bad reputation in the world, is that a problem? Okay? Well, it depends what the bad reputation's about. If the bad reputation is you teach people Christ, yeah, and the world does not like you, fine. Let the world hate us. And let the elder carry on. Where the problem is because of our behavior, Apostle Paul says there's a problem. He says that in verse 7, doesn't he? He says he must also have a good reputation with outsiders. Yeah, he must have a good reputation of outsiders. So the world is saying, look, we don't especially like them. They're just a bit over-enthusiastic, these Christians. But I have to say, they are honest in their dealings. And I would give them a job. Okay, if people are willing to say that, that's a great thing. So here's the thing. Character unchecked can undermine your gospel. It can completely undermine it. You've got a beautiful gospel. We have the greatest message in the world. Do you understand that? Do we understand that? Have we grasped that? We've got the greatest message in the whole world. We can't let our character undermine it. So, for instance, if we're preaching forgiveness, but I can't forgive anyone, well, what's that going to do to your gospel? It sort of undermines it, doesn't it? If I'm winning some sort of victory over sin and I'm saying with the coming of Christ, you can now fight battles, but I'm consistently losing, I'm going to undermine my gospel. And so we need to grow. Okay? So to sum up this, we need to look at the gift and the character. And this brings us to, what is the main way which God teaches us through leaders? It's by example, isn't it? It's by example. And it's the same way you teach children. Yeah. Often, children pick up more by what you do than by what you say. Sometimes what you say, they just ignore you, or their eyes are rolling over. They say yes and don't do it. But when they see you doing things, they pick it up. How many hardworking people are there in this community? Why? Because they saw their parents working hard. They saw their mum get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to work. And they just picked it up and said, yeah, this is the way forward. That's how we learn. That's how we're going to learn. By examples, and the leaders will set an example. Okay, let's move on to deacons. Say a few things about that. Deacon, verse 8. Deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, okay, if possible. And then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. Verse 12, a deacon must be the husband of but one wife, must manage his children, his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, because of their task, it's forcing them into areas and experiences and teaching that is actually going to build them up spiritually. Again, I mean, the deacon is basically another word for helper. But again, there's the character. Do you see that? It's about the character. It's about who you are, not just the gift. And that's the difference with the overseer. The overseer must have an ability to teach. The deacon does not have to. Though, they still need to know the gospel. Do you see that? They still need to know the truths. And it's worth remembering that amongst the first helpers, the first deacons in the New Testament church in the book of Acts, Stephen, Philip. Powerful preacher, powerful evangelist. There is crossover, okay? It's not just that you're just in this helping thing as it goes. So Donington, yeah, because of our size, the three deacons we've got here, 1, 2, 3, they will take on some elder issues because of our size. They've got to. And because of our size, the elder must get involved in some practical. Okay? Not ideal, but that is where we are now. Pray we move forward, get more leaders. Verse 11, interesting verse. It says, in the same way, their wives, or the women, are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Now that could mean the wives of the deacons themselves, okay? So the deacons go out to see people, their wives come with them. It could be that the deacons are just getting help from women, other women appointed. It could be a reference to women deacons. So Romans 16, verse 1, says this, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. Okay, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. That word servant is the same word, is it, for deacon. Okay, she's a helper. Now, whether she's an appointed, unofficial helper, we don't know. But it's less about the title, it's more about the task. Okay, so Donington Church has had deaconesses since the 1990s. And really, humanly speaking, because of their on-the-ground service, it probably wouldn't be a Donington, actually. If it was not for these ladies, I think one's here. But back in the day, but for them, there would be effectively probably be no Donington, humanly speaking. And so we are grateful to them for that. So you're probably thinking, well, what has this all got to do with me? Well, here's a number of levels. Some of you are going to be leaders. You may become a deaconess. You may become a deacon. You may become an elder. Some of you are going to have to appoint elders. Some of you, with others, may at times have to correct an elder or a deacon. Yeah? You may even, God forbid, have to remove one. So you need to know the standard. You need to have the vision. Okay? What is the vision? The vision is God has standards that are different from the world. Okay? And what that means is personality is not enough. Okay? I could shine and shower you with my personality, tell you all a few good gags, have a bit of a laugh, and we're, oh, this is marvelous, everything's going well. No. There has to be character beneath it, which means we have to work at our character. You have to work at it and come before the Lord often there. But we want good leaders. And some of you are already leading, officially and unofficially. You may have responsibility over other believers. And that may be the start of what God wants to do in your future. Most missionaries are leaders. I read 1 Timothy 3. I'm thinking of all the missionaries I know. Okay? So I place that burden on you. There you go. It's a sweet burden, isn't it? It's okay. Because the great thing is, Jesus is the main leader. Okay? If it's all down to one elder, we're in trouble. The good news is, Jesus is the shepherd. Okay? We are under shepherds. There you go. So, how are you going to pray for your leaders in your home churches? How are you going to pray for leaders here? Pray that they would fight in these areas and grow in these areas. That's how we can grow.